Hey everyone, I am excited to be here once again with Pastor Gary Zamora on the Pulling on Heaven podcast. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, thank you for being here. And here is the best place to be.
It is the best place to be. And it feels like it's been too long. You know, I'll let everyone in on a little secret. And then that secret is that we don't shoot these on a weekly basis. I know that that's going to shock you because otherwise I wear the same exact shirt for multiple days in a row and all that kind of stuff. But so it's been a while since we've gotten to sit down together.
It's been a minute, yeah.
And I
we
always
stood
love
together,
time.
But not no, really.
We stood together, and I've been traveling, yeah. So I've missed you. I got to be here on Sunday, but I have missed you. So it's so good to be back.
You too. I know.
Just want to let everyone know, watching, that there'll be a website up. So if you want to order the Pulling on Heaven branded black silky shirts that we're both wearing today, that'll be available to you as well.
Yes, and an extremely high price because we have to go out and find.
We have a new costume coordinator that thought our blue jeans and exactly matching black shirts would be perfect.
It's a good look.
You look very nice in your black shirt.
You look very nice in your black shirt. And your beard kind of sets it off. Maybe the shirt sets your beard off.
Or maybe it hides it. Maybe you have a beard, but we can't see it because of the shirt.
Yes, this is the Beard Shirt podcast. Pulling on Heaven Beard and Shirt podcast.
Pulling on the Beard is what this podcast is not going to be called. Oh my gosh. See, we're not close enough or with each other enough, and then I get too silly.
That's some of those things happen.
But thank you so much for having me. And I got something really fun to talk about because, oh my gosh, my phone, which I have my notes right here, is actually recording everything we're saying. So that's kind of
scary. At least you won't forget the humor.
At least we won't forget
of the open.
Right.
Yeah. You can pull it up for the next one.
Well, the real reason I'm here today is to talk about how I have a hard time accepting no. This was something that I thought was really powerful and you'd spoken about a couple weeks ago and about the power of no and embracing that, because no, a lot of times we believe for something, we set out for something, we try for something, and we hit a no, and it can be really frustrating in our lives. Yeah. So let's refresh our audience. There you go. On this concept of what you were preaching about, because I think it is really powerful, because I think a lot of times we come to no's in our lives and we see those as areas of defeat, areas of frustration.
Yeah.
And God wants us to look at it differently.
Yeah, well, you just said it, so we can move on.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, we do. We've all prayed for a certain thing, asked God to do something, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. And I'm going to phrase it just like that, because you just said you have trouble accepting the no.
Yeah.
And see, we don't have to accept the no. We just celebrate the no. Because the no is an instead. Because God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we don't desire deeply enough. Mm-hmm. You know, God has things that are beyond. We would stop or fall so short of what God's true intentions for us are, mm-hmm. if everything we asked to be a yes, affirmative, turned out that way. Because it's kind of like running a race, and we took, 10 steps and we stopped. Well, we could run a lot longer race and cover a lot more distance and accomplish a great deal more if we'd run just a little bit longer. So I've talked about celebrating the no, and we've actually done that. I've done it with some of my friends. One of them is sitting here in the studio today that owns a business and may put out a proposal for a certain business. Mm-hmm. plan or whatever it is, and put out an RFP or put out a proposal, and it comes back yes, and it's easy to celebrate those yeses because what we were after, we got, and we bless the name of the Lord, and maybe you go and celebrate and have a great dinner, or you just sit down and have a praise session and thank God for what he's done. But when the no's come, that feels different. It's a different feel. No doesn't feel as exciting as yes. You know, so what do you do with a no in order to stay in the right frame of mind, with the right attitude, to stay strong in the spirit? You celebrate it. Why? Well, because the word says all things work together for good. So a no has to be as good as a yes.
Yeah.
It may not be preferable, but we're not accepting the no. We're celebrating the no, knowing that yes is on its way. And it's simply God saying there's something beyond where you would be if you stop here. Let's move forward. It's kind of Peter in the boat. Peter's there, and he's in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. And they say, oh, a spirit is coming. And Jesus said, it's me. And Peter says, well, if it is you, then, I want to come. Jesus said, come. So he steps out on the water. Okay, he wanted to stop short. Okay, he could have walked all the way.
Yeah.
If you put one foot on the water, and I still have to say, any water walkers, then you can complain about Peter.
Right.
But if you haven't walked a step or two on water, he still wins the prize here, okay? He won the goal that day. But he could have walked further. He had the faith to do it, but he started looking at everything that was saying, no, you can't do this. Look at the wind, look at the sea. And that's what he looked at. That's the no.
Yeah.
The truth is, no, we don't. We're not accepting the no. We're celebrating the no, because the no is going to transform into a greater instead, a greater yes. And it really is a great way to keep your perspective when things don't
go your way.
Yeah, they don't go your way. You don't appear to get the answer that you petitioned the Lord for. But you have to understand, if we're seeking God's will when we ask Him to do something, His answer is what we asked for in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we said, God, your will. But someone's no to our proposal, as it were, our request, isn't God's no to us. So we celebrate the no as God's yes and amen.
Yeah, that's really good. And especially I think of the idea of like if you need an answer from someone for something and they answer you, whatever their answer is, you have to be thankful that they spent the time to give you an answer too, because the
better
fact
than being ignored, right?
Yeah, right. It's better than being ignored. But even to the point of like, I need to know this. Is it this or this? And if you get that no, like I love that perspective, because we only celebrate the yes because the yes is what we want. But the no is better. It makes me think. Actually, we used to trick our kids, and
I can't believe you would ever.
Who would ever trick your kids? And who would be I to trick my kids? But we'd tell them we're going to see their grandparents down in Orange County, right? So we'd start to drive them down to take them to Orange County. And then we say, oh, you know what, guys, we're not going to go see grandma and grandpa. And they'd be like, what? And they'd say, please, we want to go see them. And they'd say, no, right? And they'd start to get upset. And then we'd turn and we'd get off the freeway. And where were we at? We're at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, and we do that to them all the time. We'd always find some new way to trick them that we're taking them to Disneyland. They'd always fall for it. But that idea is that the no is always going to be somehow us settling for the less.
Yeah.
When in God's economy, no takes us to the more.
It does. It really does. It really honestly does. Some of the greatest breakthroughs, the greatest yeses that I've celebrated came because I celebrated a no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, I'd like to see you do that. You know, if it be your will, make this happen, da-da-da-da, you know, bring this to pass, God, if it's your will, and we get a no. Well, the no isn't God's no. The no is His will.
Yeah.
So why can't I celebrate the will of the Lord?
God.
Thus, we celebrate the no. But we are not accepting the no. We're simply celebrating it. We're accepting the yes.
Wow.
Because His word in Him is yes, in Him, amen. And so He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. But He just never said, I'm going to do it your way. He said, I will do it and it will come to pass. And I mean, how many times in our lives do we pray a certain thing? It doesn't turn out the way we want it to because we want to achieve a certain level of success or something we want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go that way at all initially. But the outcome is, how many times have we said, man, that's so much better than if it had unfolded the way I wanted to see it unfold. So yeah, I said it the other day, God's no is His instead, because He never really says no in the sense that we think, I don't get what I need or even what I required or requested of the Lord. It's just God is doing it in a bigger, better way. He's doing it in a wiser way. He's doing it in a more insightful way, more longevity, more long-term. The things we want last for like 5 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The things God brings to us and the way that He brings it lasts forever. I've made this statement, there are few things that are more disappointing to us than getting something that we really want, just having it long enough to kiss it goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can deal with not having something, but when you get something you really want, and you have it just for long enough to kiss it goodbye, that's really discouraging. Okay. But God wants to give us things that remain. Jesus said, my Father's glorified when you bear fruit and it stays. It remains. Yeah. It doesn't change. It doesn't fade and fall away. So God's no is really a maintaining longevity. It's a long life. It's the nature of God. God's ways are perfect, but his ways are eternal. And it doesn't mean it just goes on and on and on and on. Eternal in God means best, 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 best. Yeah. Perfect, 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 perfect. Every step is synchronized to another perfect step. And God, you know, God wants us, I'm going to say it like this because I have something for Sunday, but God wants us to believe seriously, sincerely, believe the very best of him, the very best of him. Mm-hmm. And he will perform according to our faith in his best.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's actually a great transition to me now putting you on the spot.
I'm so unaccustomed to that.
Our whole relationship goes back to me trying to put him on the spot and then him schooling me and me going, okay. No, and this is not a spot from a challenge. It's just, it's interesting, the dynamic of how God operates and the dynamics of Scripture is that there's always these interesting nuances that exist, and that makes God multifaceted. You can't just pin down to God as one thing. So I think of the times in the Bible, and so first of all, everything that you just talked about, everything that you spoke about when you gave your full message on that really resonated with me and really ministered to me. So, but I'm still a person that has a hard time accepting no, not in the standpoint that if you told me no or someone in life, but just with God accepting no. And sure. and what speaks to me from that, or what I at least use as my excuse to not let go of something, sometimes probably when I should have, but I look at certain models in the Bible, and I look at, I believe it's the Samaritan woman at the well. I might be conflating with another instance, but
we'll pretend you're right regardless.
where she's speaking for, she's talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, it's not for me to give meat to the dogs, I believe. And then she goes, but even the dogs eat the scraps from under the master's table. Right. And then Jesus alights at that. And, you know, it's one of those, I've not seen faith like this.
Yeah.
And he responds to her. He was basically trying to push her away and baiting her and pushing her away.
Right.
And in doing that, she rose to the occasion and drew something more out of him.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the Old Testament, there's several examples, but I think of Hezekiah when the prophet says to him, your life's required of you this day, and which that's a no, you're done. Yeah. And he goes back to God and he begs for more, and not only God says he will, he demands proof for God that he's overcome the no, and he says make the shadow go backwards, set the time back. So there's these instances where there's these seemingly no's that do get presented. Yeah. I think there's a different nuance of what you're talking about, obviously, but there's a difference between going no and now I need to move on versus no, can no be an invitation to pursue further?
Bates, the passion of your faith, as it did with the woman that said, yeah, you know, heal, and he said, as Jesus said, it's not meant to give children's bread to the dogs, baiting her faith. Jesus has a heart. That's why he came. He said, I came to save the lost. So you know he wasn't, you know where he's coming from. He's baiting the passion of her faith. And she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he said, exactly. And you're at the master's table, and he honored her request. So again, no is an instead with God. How can God say no? How can God say no? But if we celebrate the no, our no, I know what I wanted, but no came, then we're celebrating God's yes, God's instead. And God uses those times to bait the passion of our faith. When Hezekiah turns to the wall and says, I remembered your word, I've sought. You know, when the prophet says, you're going to die, you know, and he turns to the wall and he recounts his favor with God, his obedience to God. And God says, okay, 15 more years, and you're going to overcome your enemies. You're going to fulfill your word. Well, the man's dying. So God has to drive the passion of his faith beyond his situation. So he says, then death is the only other option. And the man's faith rose up because he remembered his relationship with God, and it recounted. It set the clock back. Yeah. God gives him his sign. God gives him long life, and he does exactly as God wanted him to. See, this wasn't an afterthought. God had already determined this of this king prior, but he seemed to have lost his way. And now he's sick and dying. And the prophet says, you're going to die, you know, everything in order. You're out of here, end of days. And then he turns and it shows you the power of recounting your faith towards God. I've walked honorably before you because your word is a light, is life to me, and your word quickens me. So the no to him could have healed him that day, and he died in a year of something else. But his faith drove him to 15 more years and fulfilling the word of God. So we celebrate the no's. We don't accept the no's. We celebrate them.
That's a big difference. Because
God has a greater yes. So absolutely, God most certainly. I've been driven many times, very deeply by a no from God. You know, if this would just happen, that, and it doesn't. And then I realized how short I was falling of my own works of faith. Mm-hmm. I could have been doing this, but I'm just waiting for a yes here instead of running the race and finishing the course. Let's run the race. Let's finish the course and see what God's answer is. Because I think his no was really celebrate that I didn't give it to you where you are.
Yeah.
Celebrate that I showed you mercy and love and grace and a better opportunity. So when you get here, you can celebrate the yes.
Yeah,
you can maintain
great.
The fruit.
Well, that analogy right there makes me think if he handed you the medal
before you
finish the race, then everyone's going to know you didn't really win that race. You're going to know you didn't really know. Yeah. Most importantly, regardless of anyone else knows.
Yeah, and then where is the line drawn?
Yeah.
And then anyone can have what they want for the asking. He wasn't saying, just ask and I'll give it to you. He's telling us, if you believe, if you will stay true to my word, if you will run the course, if you will believe what you say
comes to pass.
Then you will have whatsoever you say. So when I first heard that word, it was interpreted like, keep saying it over and over and over until you believe it. No, what he was literally saying is, if you will be a man of your word, if you will honor your word, then you will know, like the centurion, you will know when you say it will come to pass. The centurion's power was, he was saying, I'm a man of my word, and I am a man under authority of word, and I do what I'm told, and my men under me do what I'm told. If you believe what you say, I'm honorable to my word, so I know when you speak, my faith says, my faith can equate my word to your word. It's a part of me. I have confidence in my word. So if I have confidence in my word, I have confidence in your word. So speak the word only.
Yeah.
And it happened. And again, that's that challenge of great faith.
And you know, I think about the examples that I brought up and the idea of celebration versus acceptance.
Yeah.
And if they had, what's the opposite of celebration? Would be being bitter about it, right?
Yeah.
And so if the woman's reaction to Jesus's baiting, his no, was one of bitterness, she would have never pressed further anyways.
Yeah.
Same with Hezekiah. If it was like, you're going to die, and so what he ends up being is rebuking God or being bitter towards God in that circumstance, then he's never going to get the opportunity to extend his faith to get anything beyond anyways.
Exactly.
So that shows you that regardless of the outcome. And I think in my own life, when I talk about the times I probably held on to a no beyond what I should have, you know, there was a time some 20 years ago now, in which we were still friends. That's how old we both are. In which we were believing, we were living in a situation in an apartment, and the apartment was being torn down, and we were believing for a house. And you had prophesied a word for us over a house, and I was really believing for a house. And there was a word that came, though, kind of I wouldn't call it last minute, but close to last minute, within weeks of when we were supposed to move out. I was believing God was going to do some crazy miracle. And this wasn't just any house. This was at the time like a $15 million house that I couldn't afford, had no natural right to be around, any of this kind of stuff that I was believing God for, right? That today would probably be worth a $60 million miles or something ridiculous. But anyways, the word come, you had actually shared the word when you had said, don't be afraid of temporal housing. And I knew what it meant, but I didn't want to know what it meant, you know? And it really meant that this is not what God has for you right now. At least what you're believing for is God's got something else in the meantime, was kind of what it was. But I refused to accept that. But I accepted it not in a bitter part, but I accepted it in that same way. Well, even the dogs get the scraps from their table in a Hezekiah way.
Right.
And I stood on the belief in the word that everything else was still going to come to pass. Again, still based on other prophetic word, you know, sure. I wasn't just making it up, you know, sure. Standing on this. And that time came and went, and we were actually temporarily, I say homeless. Our daughter said, we're homeless. We're living in a hotel for 2 weeks because I hadn't bothered finding another place for us to move into because I believed this other thing was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it was a time where I was like, I refuse to accept this. No, on faith, not with bitterness. My faith is being challenged. I'm gonna go for it. And you know what? It didn't happen. But I will never trade the sense of dependence and the trust that I discovered I could put on God in the midst of that.
That's priceless.
So even in the not getting what I want, even in the no and even believing, even though I took the risk of believing past the no,
yeah.
You know, there was a greater treasure than actually getting a temporal house.
Yeah, it's the eternal part of us knowing how to live in trust. Again, referring to the woman, he said, children's bread is not meant for the dogs. Think about what in this scenario, what Jesus is actually saying is show me your faith.
Yeah.
You're asking me to do something, but there's no faith involved here. So show me your faith. I'm going to tell you no. And what's your response to my no? Even the dogs. I'm going to call you a dog. And what's your response? Humility, surrender, but I'm going to celebrate the no. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table, so I'll be a dog, but I won't let go. And it's that not letting go of whatever God has put before you, that attitude, spirit and attitude, basically they're the same embodiment, they're the same thing. And God cultivates our attitude because having... I remember this movie long time ago, older movie I used to watch, and there was a phrase made. These two guys were fighting for the prize, and the one guy loses the prize, and he walks over to the victor, and he says, because they had deceived him. It was a very deceptive thing. He being the guy that was contending against the other guy for the prize. And so he goes to the guy, the victor, that was deceiving, and he said, I think you are going to find that having is not as pleasant as wanting, because they were both deceptive. So you're going to have to deal with each other, and you're going to find, you know, these two connections here are not as pleasant as what you wanted it to be. And it's the same today. That's always stuck in my mind.
Wow.
Having is not always as pleasant as wanting. And the desire to have something, a lot of times, Steve, is all about getting what we need. And that's the character that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the consistency of our faith to trust God. And here's what happens a lot of times. We begin to forge our character by faith. God's forging our character by faith. But we find a part of us that was lost. We find a character, we find a confidence, we find I can live better without than I could with. Having is not nearly as sweet as wanting, because the sweet is what drives me.
Yeah.
You know, it's the scripture, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs. It's that longing desire after God. And it isn't that we fall short. It's that we end up elevating in our intelligence, our mind, our understanding, everything that keeps us happy and sound and stable. The things don't, but the character we build, the nurturing of our mind, the understanding of I'm living by faith, whether this turns out or not, mm-hmm. whether we live or whether we die, we do it as unto the Lord, Paul said. And I've made the statement, and it's in the Word, of course. Some live in faith, some die in faith. But all in all, we remain true to our call. We believed and lived by faith. But God always answers, just like he says that he does. But we want a, you know, we want an apple, and God says, I'm going to give you teeth first so you can enjoy that apple.
That's a great analogy.
And so we develop the character of our teeth, and now you can eat the apple. Otherwise, you're just gumming the thing. You know, give this apple to a baby, and it's going to gum it. But, you know, it's just, it's not going to enjoy it like it would, you know, when it develops teeth. And the character are the teeth to be able to eat the food, to enjoy the fruit that God brings to us. It's very important.
Wow. Well, and then, and as we wrap this up, I think of one added dimension to the concept of no, taking it even to another step beyond. And I think when you look at the Bible, what did Jesus say was the greatest expression of faith that he found in all of Israel was not even from a Jewish person of the heritage of that, and that was from the Roman centurion. And he had a no. And his no was actually back to Jesus,
if
you think about it. And Jesus said, I'll come heal your servant. And he's like, no, you don't have to come. I'm unworthy. You come. And I mean, you just say the word. And he's that ties in even, I think, to what you were talking about this past Sunday when you were talking about using our faith instead of get us out of trouble, to get us into trouble. Yeah. Because his no actually then challenged God.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, And the challenge is God saying, how much do you believe me for? Paul had the same experience. Three times, Lord, I ask you to deliver me from this. And three times you said, not once, three times you said, no. And then God said, yes and no. I said, no to your request because you don't need what you're asking for. My grace is your yes.
Yeah.
My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, your request is denied, but my answer trumps your request. Mm-hmm. It's better than what you wanted. Here's the apple. There's the teeth. Now enjoy. And so God's no is always an affirmative yes and amen. It's always a better. It's a marker for improvement. It's a marker for greater. If we, you think about God's wisdom, his love, his love for us, his care for us, his concern daily, every moment of the day, watching over his people, the things we would get ourselves into that we'd never be able to untie, you know, the knots we'd get ourselves into, the pits we'd never be able to climb out of. And sometimes we end up just tripping over a stone and get upset with God. But if we were able to look and see, I just kept you from a pit. Trust the Lord. His way is perfect. We would settle for so much less than God has for us. But believe great. Have great faith. Believe beyond what you need. Again, if need drives your faith, you'll only have what need says you need. But if you have great faith and you actuate that based on what you don't need, what is beyond, you could come to my house, but speak the word, stay right here. Let's create a problem. Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. We didn't have to do this, but we're taking it up. We're leveling up here. Great is your faith. And he addressed the people around. So I'm saying to you, to those that are out, be great in your faith. Have great faith. Celebrate the no, because it's an opportunity for a greater instead. And we'll see the hand of God move in ways that you had never even imagined. That's where exceeding abundant and beyond comes from.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Pastor, thank you again. Thanks for this discussion. And I'll try to accept no better next time. See you guys. Bye.